Beloved, this is the word of God. Now Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his young man who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" And the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, "She is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers.' So she came and she has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest." Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter, do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping, and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes, that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Then she said, "I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants." And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here and eat. Eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine." So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed to her roasted grain. And she ate until she was satisfied, and she had some leftover. When she rose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. And also pull out some from the bundles for her, and leave it for her to glean, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also brought out and gave her what food she had left over after being satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where did you glean today? And where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz." And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Naomi also said to her, "The man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers." And Ruth the Moabite said, "Besides, he said to me, 'You shall keep close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, lest in another field you be assaulted." So she kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of barley and wheat harvests. And she lived with her mother-in-law. Thus ends the reading of God's word. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, may you make the words of my lips and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable and be pleasing in your sight. For we pray it in the name of Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, people of God, have you ever been genuinely surprised? I don't mean surprised in the way that gifts can be surprising. I know that it's Father's Day, And some of you fathers may have been surprised with gifts today. But I mean a genuine shock where you were completely taken aback, where you were at a complete loss for words, where you just didn't know what to say. Even if you had tried to speak, it would have came out as clumsy babble and wouldn't have captured the feelings you truly had. Genuine shock, stunning, and genuine surprise. Well, Ruth chapter 2 is about genuine surprises. It's about what it looks like to be surprised by the Lord, especially what it looks like to be surprised by the Lord's kindness. In Ruth 2, the Lord Jesus teaches us that he often works his kindness in surprising and unexpected ways. As we begin, we need to set some context for Ruth chapter 2. There are two things to note. The first thing is, who in the world is Boaz? Many of you, I know, probably are already familiar with this character if you've read this story before, which I assume you have. But we didn't hear anything about Boaz in chapter 1, and yet he's all over the place in chapter 2. As chapter 2 begins, we're immediately told that Boaz is a mighty man, or a worthy man of power, who happens to be in Elimelech's family. While this title, mighty man of power, typically refers to military strength in the Old Testament, here it indicates Boaz's high standing in the Bethlehem community. It's being told to us because we're supposed to see the contrast between where Boaz is at and where Naomi and Ruth are at. Boaz is very high up. He has material wealth. He has fields, lands, property. He has workers. The entire Bethlehem community respects him. Ruth and Naomi, on the other hand, have hit rock bottom. They are destitute, poor, broken, and empty. Naomi is bitter and without hope. Ruth is a Moabite and a complete foreigner and a stranger to the covenant. We also need to notice Boaz's connection to Elimelech. Here is one who can reverse the curse Elimelech inflicted upon his family in chapter 1. The second thing we should note is the Lord's welfare program for the poor and the foreigners within Israel's gates, within the law, within the Old Testament. In Leviticus 19 and Deuteronomy 24, the Lord commanded Israel that when she reaps, she cannot reap up to the edge of her fields, up to the edge of her properties. This edge of the field, this would be reserved for the poor, for the fatherless, for the widows, for the broken, the destitute, and the sojourners and the aliens within Israel's gates. This was to show the Lord's kindness to those who were destitute. The poor and the foreigners were allowed to come and to come glean what was left in the field around the edges of it. They were welcomed to glean the scraps of the fields. This is the context in which Ruth goes out to glean. A poor Moabite woman trying to provide for her bitter mother-in-law. And as Ruth goes out, we are told that she chances, just happens to come upon Boaz's field. This should immediately sound off some alarms in our minds. Remember, the Lord does a lot of behind-the-scenes acting in the book of Ruth. We saw this with Elimelech last week. We saw this with Ruth. And we saw this with Naomi. So this language of chances upon or just happens to stumble, however your translation calls it, it's supposed to be kind of comical. While it may appear like she stumbles upon Boaz's field, the Lord has actually directed her there. The Lord has brought Ruth to Boaz's field to show her kindness. He will use Boaz to do this. He will use him to reflect his character and his kindness to Ruth. And as soon as Boaz appears on the scene, he does a few things that immediately mark him out as the man who will be used by the Lord. First, he invokes the name of God upon his lips. In fact, it's the very first thing that comes out of his mouth. The Lord be with you. Then he shows himself as one who isn't ashamed to associate with the poor and with the broken, with the estranged or the working class. He is the mighty man in high standing who is not above mingling with the lowly. Immediately after discovering who Ruth is, Boaz greets her with unexpected words. Ruth, don't glean in another field. Don't even leave this one. But keep close to my young women. Go after them. I've charged the young men not to touch you. When you're thirsty, drink freely from my vessels of water. This might not seem like much to us, but this kindness is completely over the top. Ruth is a Moabite. The text constantly reminds us in its redundant repetition that she is from Moab. On top of this, while the poor and the foreigners are welcome to the edges of the field, they're not necessarily guaranteed protection from assault. Remember, not that many years have passed since Judges 19, what we heard about last week, when a woman was brutally raped to the point of death in Bethlehem. Boaz, the mighty one, is setting himself up as Ruth's protector, as her advocate. This will not happen to Ruth. Do not touch her. Do not harm her. She is under my protection. Ruth isn't to glean in any other field. In fact, he says she's not even to leave his field. She's completely initiated into the club, so to speak, with all the rights and with all the privileges of anyone else gleaning there. But Boaz doesn't stop here. He knows of everything Ruth has done for Naomi. He knows how she has left Moab, her gods, her people, her family, her land, to come to a people and a land she didn't know, to worship the God her father-in-law, Elimelech, repudiated, to worship the God her mother-in-law, Naomi, has lost hope in, to find restoration for her broken family. For this, Boaz pronounces one of the most powerful blessings in the entire Bible upon Ruth. The Lord repay you for what you have done. A full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. Ruth is in shock. Falling on her face, she asks, "Why? Why have I found favor in your eyes? I am a Moabite." What's interesting is that in verse 2, the purpose for Ruth going out to glean was that she might find favor. It seems as if she's very confident in Ruth 2, verse 2. She is very confident that she will find favor. And yet, here, she's in shock. You see, this is how our hearts work. We often tell people when troubles hit, when calamity hits, "Yeah, we know that the Lord will provide. I know." But when He does it, it still blows us away. There's a surprising and unexpected dimension to the Lord's kindness, and it knocks us off our feet. Ruth's word for favor communicates the grace and the compassion of the Lord. Ruth has encountered the kindness of the Lord. She has encountered the Lord's comfort and compassion and grace. She recognizes His protection. She has come under His wings, and He will not forsake her. But wait, there's more. Boaz isn't done. He invites Ruth the Moabite to come sit at his table and serves her. He serves her with bread and with wine. He serves her beside his people. He serves her as a welcome guest. She eats until she's satisfied, even to the point where there are leftovers. And after serving her, he tells his workers that Ruth is allowed to glean anywhere in the fields. Not just the edges, not just the scraps, but anywhere. His men are not to disturb her or insult her. She is not a Moabite in the eyes of Boaz. She is not to be defined by what man thinks of her, but what the Lord thinks of her, a true Israelite. The Lord is using Boaz to reflect his kindness to Ruth. It is unexpected. It is surprising. It is personal. It is face to face. It is faithful, compassionate, and comforting. Following Boaz's instructions, Ruth gleans as much as she can to take back to Naomi an entire ephah of barley. Now that, most of us, I assume, do not know what an ephah is. It's somewhere between 30 to 50 pounds. Ruth is bringing back to Naomi the equivalent to what a giant bag of dog food is in our modern day. This is several weeks worth of food that she's gleaned in one day. And as we turn to Naomi, we have to remember that not much has changed with her. Remember, she wants to be called Mara to show how bitter she is. She has blamed her bitterness on the Lord. She has blamed her situation on Ruth. She has hit rock bottom and lost all hope. She is empty and destitute. She has become cold and her heart has hardened. She has become almost completely silent. She barely said anything to Ruth as Ruth left the house to glean. She's been home all by herself, more than likely stewing in her bitterness. We have to understand Naomi in this way to make the Lord's kindness all the more glorious and surprising. Just think for a moment. Ruth returns super late and walks in the door, and behind her is several weeks' worth of food she's gathered in one day. Naomi sees this and is completely stunned. She's genuinely surprised, and she's taken aback. And the silent and bitter Naomi must speak up. She must say a word. Where did you glean? Where did you work? Who is this man who took notice of you? As soon as she hears the name of Boaz, in a sudden turn of events, the bitter Naomi realizes that the Lord hasn't abandoned her. The bitter Naomi realizes that there is still hope. And all she can do is bless the Lord. She blesses Boaz. She recognizes the Lord's kindness. She recognizes the Lord's hesed, his faithfulness to her. He hasn't forsaken the living, and he hasn't forsaken her dead husband and her sons. We should notice that Naomi uses the plural when she says living. She's including Ruth. For the first real time in the book of Ruth, Naomi truly recognizes Ruth as her family. The Lord's kindness causes Naomi to hope, and she tells Ruth that Boaz is a relative, that he is a redeemer. He is a relative of Elimelech. He is a member of their family. He is able to restore the house of Elimelech to its good name. He is able to take Ruth for a wife. This is how the Lord will restore Naomi. This is how the Lord will welcome Ruth. This is Naomi's hope. As we reflect on the message of Ruth 2, in order for this surprising dimension to the Lord's kindness to mean anything for us, we have to really understand the complexity of our own hearts. We have to expose our hearts. We have to allow ourselves to be vulnerable. We have to admit just how wicked and extensive our sin is before the Lord. We have to allow ourselves to hit rock bottom with Naomi, so to speak. We have to understand the extent of our estrangement before the Lord, how we are like Ruth, lost and without hope apart from the Lord. We have to understand the extent of our stubbornness before the Lord, how we are like Naomi, sometimes unable to see any good in the Lord's purposes for us. As difficult as this may be, we have to also grasp at some extent how the God of Israel, the Lord of the universe, desires to shower his kindness and compassion to us who are broken and lowly. In all of our sin and stubbornness, the Lord is not ashamed of us. He is not embarrassed to call himself our Lord. This is what we have to grasp. The Lord, who is high and lifted up, is not ashamed to serve the lowly. He is not ashamed to comfort the broken and the destitute. He is not ashamed to pursue after people who sometimes don't want anything to do with him. The Lord is not above these things, as surprising as that may be. And he demonstrates this in our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus extends his kindness to us in the same way Boaz extends the kindness of the Lord to Ruth and to Naomi. Think of the cross. Jesus, the God of the universe, empties himself to the point of death. He comes for us when we least expect it, when we are broken, when we are lost, when we are stubborn, when we are actually his enemies. He doesn't have to do this. He doesn't have to intervene into our situation, but he does. Not to make us feel guilty, but because he is kind. And he lavishes us with grace and with favor. Because of his work, because of his life, because of his death, and because of his resurrection. This is sheer kindness and grace that should leave us with jaws dropped. Like Ruth, asking the question, why? Why have I found favor? Like Naomi exclaiming, the Lord's kindness hasn't forsaken the living or the dead. In light of this, think of the amazing blessings the Lord Jesus pronounces on us. In the same way, Boaz blessed Ruth for leaving her family's house and their gods to come to a land she didn't know to serve the Lord and her bitter mother-in-law. The Lord Jesus blesses us. Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel, who will not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. Jesus is almost redundant, just so the point is communicated. For those who have come under his wings, sometimes at great costs, sometimes when we have left our families, sometimes when we have left mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, sometimes when we are ridiculed by our friends and our family, he says to you, like Boaz, I will serve you. I will provide for you. I will welcome you among my people in my church. I will give you bread and wine. I will protect you. I will fight for you. I will be your advocate. I will take care of you in unexpected and surprising ways. And I will never forsake you. As we consider the surprising aspects to the Lord's kindness, it should also shape the way we interact with one another. While the Lord's kindness might surprise us, and in fact it should surprise us, it should never be surprising for someone at church, believer, unbeliever, or visitor, when we are kind to them. I really liked what Pastor Mark said a couple weeks back in his first sermon on Romans. No one who enters our church should ever leave without feeling encouraged by someone they've came in contact with. Our kindness to one another shouldn't be surprising or unexpected. Our Lord Jesus calls us to reflect his character. So, beloved, be kind, be tender-hearted, and be compassionate. And may the Lord's kindness bring about hope, comfort, encouragement, and thanksgiving in our own lives and the lives we come into contact with on a day-to-day basis. to the glory of our triune God, Father and Son and Holy Spirit, whose wings we have came under through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray.